Joe Live Radio Row, SEC Media Days 2025 in Atlanta. All of our coverage presented by Brewhouse South in Cool Springs. And excited to talk to Mike Griffith from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution and Dog Nation. Talk some Georgia Bulldogs. Mike, what's going on? How are you?
Yeah, man, I'm good. You know, great event. A lot of excitement in the air. Obviously, Arch Manning going today. Got a third-generation legacy player. Got to talk to David Cutcliffe earlier. You know, obviously, Tennessee iconic offensive coordinator, championship coach. Really a Manning, you know, kind of the Manning god, right?
Yeah.
I mean, Coach Peyton and Eli, and he's here to see Arch. And yeah, it's something about SEC football. You know, every time of year this comes around, the bug bites. And, you know, here we go. Get your preview magazines, read your local newspapers, you know, check out the radio shows and grab your item of interest. It's just going to take off from here.
Now that Nick Saban is retired, has Kirby kind of taken that mantle of kind of being the guy that speaks for the coaches?
You know, to some extent, I mean, you know, those Nick Saban shoes can't be filled. You know, there's
sure.
just too many titles. And but in terms of, you know, respect in the room, there's no doubt that Kirby demands that. You know, you hear Lane Kiffin, you know, playing up to him quite a bit. You know, Kirby's a no-nonsense guy. I don't think Kirby necessarily wants to run in front of the microphone or the camera, but there are certain initiatives that are really important for college football. And we're in an area right now where it's wavering a bit. Right, where we're starting to see the sport get stratified and pulled in many different directions. You know, we're talking about things that college football fans really don't want to hear about. They don't really want to hear about the NIL deals. They don't really want to hear about the bureaucracy and Congress getting involved and what needs to happen for players to be paid and Olympic sports to be protected. That's not why they're tuned in. They want to hear the fight song. They want to see the mascot. They want to know about who's the starting quarterback and the linebacker. And you got to be careful not to alienate your audience, but at the same time, you got to tell people what they need to know to stay informed. And for coaches, they have to maintain a certain amount of leverage to coach these guys. You know, I was talking with T. Martin, you know, speaking of Tennessee icons, and, you know, T's now in the NFL, and he says, you know, if you're not careful, you're not preparing these guys right for the NFL. Because when you show up in the NFL, there's no time to play. There's no time for complacency. You're not on a four-year deal. They'll cut you tomorrow. You have one bad day, you're out, not for long league. And you're going to see that life expectancy shorten more and more if these players aren't prepared properly. And ultimately, isn't that supposed to be the goal?
Yeah.
If you really want to dial this back to college football? So there's a lot going on, and Kirby's not afraid to get in the front of the room and talk about things like one portal. Instead of two, the tampering is real, right? Look at the Ohio State roster last year. How many, Caleb Downs, the Alabama centers out there, Kansas State quarterbacks out there, you know, Ohio State, the poster child for everything wrong, right? They're fourth place in the Big Ten, and yet somehow they're hosting a playoff game. And I'm not saying that Tennessee would have beat them in Neyland Stadium, but you're telling me Tennessee didn't deserve to host that game over a team that just lost by double digits that's in fourth place in their league? That's an outcry. So now we got to talk about the College Football Playoff Selection Committee and how they rank teams and maybe what influx of common sense we might have with Ivan Mazel and Mark D'Antonio joining that staff and hopefully doing a little bit better job in the selection process. And oh, by the way, what does the playoff look like after this year? Do we go from 12 to 16? Right now, Big Ten, SEC stare down on which model we go with. Big Ten trying to dictate. SEC adds another game. SEC saying, look, you don't have the inventory of good teams
right.
we do.
Yeah. Right.
Convenient argument for you, but does the Big Ten, you know, wave a big enough stick to get their way, or does Sankey say, you know what, we're just going to stay with 12 then. We'll stay with 12. If you're going to try to demand that we go with a nine-game schedule to go with a 5-11 model where you have 11 at-large teams and theoretically a better field because you have higher-ranked teams in versus the heavier automatic qualifier model that the Big Ten wants.
Yeah.
So, again, talking about a lot of stuff, fans are going, my brain's spinning, Mike, too much. I just want to know how good's Georgia going to be. Georgia's playing at Tennessee. Who's going to win? But we're so far off that track because the earth is shifting. This is the climate change of college football.
Yeah.
It's all of it's changing at once, and it's hard to keep up with, Joe.
Yeah, we're talking to Mike Griffith from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, Dog Nation. All right, we talk about that. Week three, Georgia goes to Tennessee.
Yeah.
I think that makes Tennessee's season. They beat Georgia. They're rolling. It could be very bad for either team How do you see this shaping out? Or well, do we know?
Well, first we'll say this, and we've known for decades, and Doug Dickey would tell us that, you know, the coaches were evaluated at Tennessee based on how they did against Georgia, Florida, and Alabama. And let's give Heupel credit. He's taken care of business for the most part against Florida. He's beaten Alabama. Something hadn't happened in a long time. Georgia's the one that's got away. Got to go back to Butch Jones and that Josh Dobbs Hail Mary. What a magical moment that was. And now Juwan Jennings obviously coming to fruition with the San Francisco 49ers. I know a lot of folks in Middle Tennessee like seeing that.
Oh, yeah.
But it is a big game for both teams, and there's a lot of questions to be answered. Now, Tennessee's going to have a little better barometer where they're at. I think that Syracuse opener is tricky. I think Fran Brown is a really good coach, and you know he's going to give Kirby a call on the Josh Heupel offense. So Fran Brown's going to have a pretty good game plan. I don't know if he's got the players, but that's a good litmus test for Tennessee to kind of find out who they are. Georgia, meanwhile, plays a Marshall team with more than 60 new players and a new head coach, right? I'm not saying they just, you know, roll the ball out and win, but they roll the ball out and win. Then they play Austin Peay, and, you know, tip of the cap to Austin Peay for playing that game. Great experience for the kids. No chance in hell. So Georgia's going to have two blowout games going into that. They don't know who they are until they play. And that's a very good Tennessee defense. I know when we talk about Josh, we talk about his offense and how explosive they've been. But the Tennessee defense is what's steely. And that's going to be one heck of a test for Gunnar Stockton. Going in there, seeing the checkerboard, and doing the checkerboard for that game.
Yep.
Neyland Stadium, vertical crowd. I mean, it is in a very intense place to play. That's going to be Gunner's first true test this season. And we're going to find out a lot about both teams. Joey Aguilar, right?
Yep.
The Tennessee quarterback. Yeah. Who is he? Who are you really? This is your moment, your oil-pointing chance to do something special. And to your point, Joe, if Tennessee can win that game, it really sets the stage for the season.
You do a lot of hits on the Feinbaum Show. We're talking to Mike Griffith from Atlanta Journal-Constitution. When you get on there and you talk about all the college football, I mean, it just – does it put you to a next level as far as what you do and your coverage and talking to people? Because that's a prime spot there, Mike.
Yeah, you know, it's been 9 years. And, you know, I think about when it started, it was during the Butch Jones era. And, you know, back in the day, and it's still true to this to an extent, and I like it. You know, I like, you know, they'll do a little clip of you here, a little clip of you there. They were the masters at finding that the 30 seconds when I sounded dumber than anybody in the room. and sometimes they would set me up. You know, they said, Paul would say something like, give me one good reason why John Curry would keep Butch Jones. And I would say something like, well, you know, their offense broke David Cutcliffe's record, and Butch, you know, has done this. And that would be what they would play. They're like, well, and Mike Griffith, he thinks they ought to. Now, wait a minute. That's not how that was brought up. You asked the one good reason, and Tennessee fans are like, throw stuff at Mike. He wants Butch. No, that's not what I said. But, yes, to your point, you know, the conversations with Paul have been fun. You know, I've learned not to, it's like sparring, right?
Right.
And I've learned not to get beat up, right? I've learned when the right hook's coming and the uppercut, and I kind of go in there with a game plan. Now it's like, okay, I got to be ready for Paul. It's like getting on an airplane. Is there going to be turbulence or not? If there is, now I know when to look out the window. I look at the turbulence report before I get on. Is he in a good mood? What kind of show is it going to be? And I bring a little bit of material to the table as well. So it's been a lot of fun. Those conversations are never rehearsed. I never know what's coming. It's very authentic and off the air. We don't really talk a lot. You show up, you put the sparring gear on, you go, you leave the ring, and we have a lot of fun. And obviously, there's always a lot of things to talk about with the SEC,
yeah,
and Georgia especially.
I appreciate you doing this. Getting you on is harder than getting Taylor Swift on.
Oh, yeah. Come on, man.
But we appreciate you. We talked yesterday, man. I love what you do. Thank you for your passion for football and everything else.
Well, thanks for what you do, too. I mean, you got a great social media presence. You got a great message. You're very entertaining, extremely well-established. And it's fun for me to follow, right?
Yeah.
I don't have time, and you guys know this, in the media. We don't really get to watch each other's work enough or see each other enough. But, Joe, I've really followed you on social media. I think
you do
incredible work. Your stuff is creative and it's fun and it's very uplifting. And that's a very positive thing that we all could use more of. So you want to know who media guys follow? It's a pretty good indication. I follow Joe on all the social medias I can, and obviously radio.
Check's coming, well, brother.
I will not be able to get him through the door with that. So thank you. Thank you for that. Mike, thanks so much for doing this.
Appreciate it, guys. Appreciate Chase.
Mike Griffith joining us here on the program. SEC Media Days rolls on, presented by Brewhouse South and Cool Springs. 102.5 The Game.